The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Yes, that's right. Steven Fishback. Here we are.
Oh,
the
God.
Survivor Know-It-Alls are back again.
Back again. Oh, my God. They're back again.
Another episode of Survivor, The Edge of Extinction. And tonight, Ron Clark is the latest person to go to the edge of extinction. We are here to talk about it all here with you live.
How are you holding up, Rob? I know you're a big Ron Clark fan.
Look, Ron Clark was a great character on the show. We'll talk about where he might have gone wrong. Everything was coming up Ron Clark earlier in the night, but unfortunately, there was a countermeasure, and ultimately that he was the one who ends up going home after Rick Devins plays his idol. And I'm looking forward to breaking it all down here with Steven Fishback, who's back on the mend after shoulder surgery last week. Look at him. Him and his perseverance.
Woo! Doing it all for you. Just podcasting. You don't really use your arm that much to podcast, to be fair. It's not a very arm-intensive activity.
No, listen, for anybody who is questioning Steven's perseverance, I saw him put his earbuds in and untangle them with one hand tonight, and
it was
one of the most moving and motivational things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I mean, everyone knows how dexterous I am as a rule. So it was, as always, living up to that level of dexterity. I was shocked by Ron. You know, earlier in the episode, he said he was the one in control. And, you know, when someone says they're in control in Survivor, you got to believe them.
But he's been saying that for a while.
No, I know. I'm kidding. You know, it's a kiss of death.
Kiss of death. But it took a while to ultimately bite Ron Clark as he goes out here. And we are down to six before we get down to five and then probably back to six again here as we count down the edge of extinction. Lots to do here tonight. Already a busy night for me, Steven, that I took over the Survivor Instagram. And,
oh, wow.
I was Instagramming away, watching on the Survivor Instagram account. Had my wife and kids helping me with that, and that was anytime you get to work with your family, it's a joy.
Oh, well, who is the most helpful family member?
Dominic was the most cooperative of the family members tonight. he was legitimately pumped up to do it, and he's was the only one except for me, and it was a lot of fun. You can check that out. Of course, we are also going to be on right after the episode. We're going to switch over to FanCred, the FanCred app. Go to FanCred.com to download if you want to call in and talk to Steven Fishback and myself for 30 minutes after the episode, starting off at 10:15 p.m. tonight. You can go ahead and get on FanCred and get ready for us. And then on the fan line, call in and talk live with Steven Fishback and myself at 10:15. Hashtag RHAP to get your tweets into the show here tonight. Got some great podcasts coming up as well. Dominic and Kellen from Ghost Island are going to join me on the recap
together
tomorrow. Together. Yeah, 2-1-1.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah, that's fun.
That'll be a lot of fun to get into everything with them. And then the Purple Pants badass Bryce Isaiah will join us for this week's feedback show. And Liana Boris will join us on This Week in Survivor this week. So a jam-packed week of podcasts again.
Wow, that's pretty big. That's a big week.
It's a big week. Okay.
Yeah.
Steven, let's talk about what happened here, because I feel like that there were sort of like two reads on this episode tonight.
Right. Well, so the one read is that Ron shouldn't have I'm trying to guess what you're saying.
Yeah.
Is the one read that like Ron screwed it all up by taking, you know, but by winning the loved ones reward, he alienated Lauren and Victoria, and that was his downfall. What's the other read?
No, I that wasn't really a major part of it.
Do you mean Reed Donaldson? Is that like a shout out to Reed Donaldson?
Yeah, like, damn it, Reed! Of course, that was the challenge from Heroes versus Villains. But it's almost like that you watch this episode and it's like, damn, Rick Devins. Wow. He did it again. But meanwhile, yes, he did save himself from elimination, but all of the heavy lifting for the elimination of Ron Clark was to the players that probably end up getting a lot more credit tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you know, fishy for Victoria. Victoria is a long-term favorite of mine. And I think that, you know, Ron and Julie just assumed that the default plan would be Aurora because they were saying Aurora because Aurora was the default plan always. And I think as soon as you just get locked in on a plan, it opens the door for other people to make a move. And I, you know, Victoria had that great, great remark. Like, I want to be the one who's choosing who goes home, not Rick. Like, we shouldn't just like wait to see who Rick votes for and like let that be the determining factor here at the final eight. So from her perspective, I thought it was really great to plan an insurrection. A little bit of confusion with the votes for those who are curious and missed it. So Gavin voted twice. Gavin did use Aurora's extra vote. So two of the Ron votes were from Gavin. Lauren also voted for Ron. Rick voted for Aurora, and then Julie, Ron, Victoria, and who am I missing? Julie, Ron, Victoria, and someone voted for Rick. So Rick did have four votes, and he would have gone home. Oh, Aurora. I'm sorry. Obviously, Aurora is the last person. So Rick, Aurora. No, sorry. Ron, Julie, Aurora, Victoria voted for Rick. And what I thought was incredibly genius about this is that Victoria, who came up with the plan to blindside Ron, is voting for Rick. So she's actually voting with Ron and Julie. So in the case that Rick doesn't have an idol and Rick does go home, she hasn't pissed off Ron and Julie. It's Gavin and Lauren who have pissed off Ron and Julie.
Now, does this now end her streak, though, Stephen, of voting for the person who went home every single time? Do you still?
She came up with a plan. Well, you know, it was her plan.
Yeah. No, interesting. And I thought that this might have been Victoria's best episode of the series for me. And maybe the Aubrey vote out still might be tops, but this was probably, you know, 1 and 1B.
Yeah. I mean, I think she's such a savvy player. It's weird because like she feels under edited. And I know we don't like to talk about the edit, but like she just feels like she should be a bigger character almost than she is. You know, there's like eight people left. She's played such a smart strategic game. And maybe like I can't like tell. Am I just like a big fan and I want to see more of the character I'm rooting for? Or like do you think that we should have more Victoria than we do?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like that she's probably played a social game and has not been overly strategic with the other players where she's seen as somebody who just sort of like piles in on the last second. And the stuff that we've seen her that's been very strategic has been sort of one-on-one in confessional. So I don't know necessarily what more there would be to show.
I don't know. Just you know, some mustache twirling, you know, some like scheming, being diabolical. We had some great confessionals from her during the Aubrey vote about, you know, how nobody should trust her. She seemed like such a big, fun character.
Yeah. I'm interested to know, Stephen, so that after this vote, how do you think that this next round of voting goes? That it probably is going to be the votes Rick for Devins. Rick Devins again, who's on like a Dree Bergen-esque trajectory at this point.
I mean, it really does seem like the only way that Rick is going to win is if he wins out. And although actually, he really just has to win until the Edge of Extinction person comes back, because then that person will be a bigger target than he is.
I so also think that he could get voted out next week and then be the Edge of Extinction person again.
That would be amazing. The double resurrection. That would be the true
Ozzy
hero's
did
journey.
It once before, so there is some precedence for that. And also, Amazing Race Victor did the same feat in Big Brother 18. But for Rick Devins to get voted out and come back in, I guess it would be the equivalent of having immunity for the final six.
Yeah, I mean that's right. That's right.
But you know, the final six again then.
But so yeah, he's got a really long road ahead of him. He really has to basically win out, whether that's through losing and then winning his way back, or just winning consistently, or you know, through some great idol play. And you know, we talked about it a little bit with Nick last season. It's a little bit easier now to do that with the fire making challenge being there.
Right. He would still need to get through three rounds one way or another, where or he has to get through six and five, and then he's in it potentially at four. I don't know if Rick Devens is going to be a natural at the fire making. I guess he could also lose at six, come back, but then he has to survive six at some point.
Well, but also even just the politics of the fire making, I do feel, well, I guess no one's going to pick Rick to go with them. So I guess maybe that's not the case. But, you know, the edge of extinction factor does seem to help him. If there is, it does. It sure seems like the jury is rooting for Rick Devens. And, you know,
they did
pretty
tonight,
openly.
I felt like, I mean, it was much. Wild, that scene yeah. in the jury. It seems like that Ron was very unpopular with the jury. I saw even Kelly Wentworth cheering at what Rick Devens was able to do.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like everyone was Team Rick. And I do think, you know, thinking about the jury for this season, I do think, I was talking about it earlier with Colin Stone, like, how is the edge of extinction going to affect the jury's perspective? And we were kind of saying that, you know, because, you know, at Ponderosa, when you're at Ponderosa, you have the ability to kind of go off, be yourself, you're eating food, you're like engaging with your own activities, you're listening to your own music, you're reading a book. So you're like more establishing your own identity, like away from the group. But they're living, you know, when you're living all together at the edge of extinction, I really think, as much as groupthink is a huge part of every Survivor season with the jury, I think it's going to be an even bigger part this time. So, you know, I'm not surprised that they're all kind of like, they've all kind of glommed onto one person whom they're all rooting for.
Yeah, it's interesting that that's the case. I think that something that we talked about a lot coming out of Survivor 35 was sort of the idea of a lot of theatrics at Tribal Council and how much that impacts the jury, because that's what the jury gets to see, as opposed to
right.
somebody walks in, like Chrissy walks into the jury, like, oh, Chrissy won immunity again. Okay. All right. Well, we didn't see that, but here's, yeah. you know, Rick Devens plays the fake advantage that Ron gave him, you know, really rips into Ron and Julie in front of the jury. Then voila, here's a real idol. I'm playing this tonight. You know, the jury is going nuts. Just in terms of the idea of, you know, your resume, what is the jury seen? Stuff like that. Rick Devens has been probably the best person on the entire cast at that, and I don't think it's close in terms of theatrics at the Tribal Council that have been effective and also seem to have resonated with the jury.
Yeah, and you know, obviously that speaks to his incredible poise on camera, right? Just from his training and this being his profession, you know, whether he's learned those skills because it's his profession, or it's his profession because he's innately great at that and just kind of really able to think on his feet quickly. But he really is able to milk every moment, like that great line tonight. What was it? Where like he was like, let me. You know, I could end all of the speculation, but I'm not going.
But
well, what
I
was
won't.
That line?
Yes,
I won't. Yeah, because I'm having a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it was just such a great. You know, he really like his timing is just so on point. And you know, people who really, I tweeted today about how much I love Rick Devens. I certainly heard from a lot of people who feel otherwise. And the things that I love about
big
him
mistake. Seem to.
Yeah, yeah. Expressing any sort of preference in any capacity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the people who don't like him, and that's the great thing about, you know, about being human. We can all love different things. But
the
people who don't like
thing.
Him.
That's the great part.
Well, and like senses, like smells, tastes, yeah. you know, beauty. Those are that's also good.
Yes.
And, you know, talking to you. couldn't do it if I were a cow.
Okay. All yeah. right. So moving forward from this.
Moving okay.
forward. Moving forward from this. So Rick Devens seems like he is dead man walking, but also feels like that there is more to him. He still seems like he has a destiny in this game.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, it's hard to say with someone like Rick because he's so funny and he just gives such great sound bites. It's like how much of his story is just, you know, is like this like destiny that he has versus like how much is it that he's just a phenomenal character and you would always give that guy airtime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just compared to the other five people.
Yeah.
Who Ron Clark was the other person who was on the show where that we've seen a lot of him. The other five people that are in contention, Julie, Aurora, Victoria, Lauren, and Gavin, are people that we really have not gotten to know well over the course of the season. So it really is.
Aurora, maybe.
Aurora?
Aurora, yeah.
We've hardly seen that much. I mean, where Rick Devens is one of the most visible people from this season, and the other five are all people who have been, certainly in the bottom half of visible characters in the show.
Yeah, no, it's true. And I do think Aurora has gotten a little bit more over the past couple of weeks. But it is really true that basically all of the high profile characters have now, except for Rick, have now left the game.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah.
So it's like it's you got to wonder. I mean, I guess next week has got to be all about Rick, and then you get the finale and whatever happens then.
Whatever happens there. Steven, I want to talk about Ron Clark and a couple of things. I guess we need to touch on the family visit, but before we get there, let me ask you about when, in the opening of the episode, Ron gave his expired idol menu, or his advantage menu, to Rick. Did you think that was a good move? What did that buy Ron?
I mean, Ron's logic in that moment, right, is Rick will rest easier if he feels like he has an idol. And I don't think that's false, right? If Rick thinks he has an idol, maybe he will be less likely to go looking for an idol. Therefore, he will be less likely to find an idol, and therefore he will be easier to eliminate. Now, that obviously ended up not being the case, but if you're on Survivor and you have like any slight edge, why would you not use it? Well, okay, so the one big reason not to use it is the reason that Rick basically said, like, why humiliate me when I'm on my way out the door? Not just because it's like a mean thing to do, because like you're sending someone to the jury after humiliating them and making them super salty about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm on the fence. I mean, does the pro outweigh the con? Yeah, probably. I'm sorry. Does the con outweigh the pro? Probably the con outweighs the pro.
Yeah, I don't think there's that much to gain from it. I can stand corrected. We have seen people use, fake idols in various ways, but it was something that came up last season as well with Angelina, and where she ended up planting the fake idol with Allison. It was one of the reasons that Allison was, especially annoyed. She felt like that Angelina was trying to embarrass her in the same way. And Angelina did not feel like that was the case. So I don't know necessarily. We saw it with Nick and Christian as well, where it ended up then working to some degree, where Christian did not end up going to go look for an idol because he thought that Nick had found the other idol, but it ended up creating distrust between Davey and Nick last season. So it's you're really playing with fire with that stuff.
Yeah, and it does seem, when you're out there and you're playing the game and like you're kind of having fun with it, the instinct to do it is very acute. I get it. Like, it's kind of like a fun little devious thing to do. I mean, those are long days.
But I think that Rick Devens also probably, and maybe he did think this and we didn't see it in the episode, but I think that if you're Rick Devens and Ron has given me an idol advantage for no apparent reason, he just voted War Dog out, and there's no good reason why he did this. I think that Rick, if he really thought about it, could deduce this is a trick.
Right. And he did seem to be pretty suspicious about it. I mean, even in that moment, he said, there's zero reason for Ron to give this to me, very acutely aware of that. And then later on, he says, if this is a real thing from Ron, he asks Ron and Julie again by the well, like, is this really real? So it seems like he doesn't totally buy it. And obviously, smart move for him to play that first and see what happened before playing his other thing. But, Rick voted Aurora. Rick went with Ron's plan. So he was giving Ron the benefit of the doubt as well. So it was, trust but verify.
Okay. So in the family visit, is it as simple as to say Ron Clark should not have won that family visit? Is it, are we back on board with, this has not been something that has come back to bite anybody in a while. Do survivors have no business winning the family reward?
It's just such a hard thing, right? Where it's like you have so much emotional, stakes like tied up in seeing your family member, not to mention just, you know, winning food, like winning any reward is so useful. I am typically in favor. I know that everyone says like the sort of like generic strategic advice is you shouldn't try to win rewards. I don't really buy that, but I do think with a family visit, because it is so personal and people just take it so personally, you know, it's did Ron go home because he won the family visit? I don't know, but it makes it that much easier for both Lauren and Victoria to say his name when you know, after he doesn't take them. What's your take here, Rob?
I don't think we've seen it burn somebody in quite some time. I'm trying to think of the past winners of the you know, the family reward, and you know who they've selected.
Brenda.
Well, I mean, it ended up, yes, that was the one where, I mean, but that was Survivor 26. I mean, this is 12 seasons ago. And maybe there's another person along the way. I know that they haven't had it necessarily every single season, but it does seem as though, and maybe the chat can point, it's been a minute since it really burned somebody.
Yeah, but I think that it could in subtle ways, too. I remember in Cambodia, you know, the three people who didn't go on the family visit were the final three. And I don't think that's irrelevant. You know, I think it just really it reinforces that bond for the people who are left behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because they're so salty. And, you know, we talk constantly about how winning a reward doesn't really win you anything, you know, from the people you take. It's not like it's only bad for the people you leave behind. It's rare that people actually feel gratitude from your taking.
Well,
them.
That's a great point about Gavin, where I do think that one of the miscalculations that Ron made was, you know, that if I do certain things for people, there will be, you know, a quid pro quo. And by taking Gavin, he says that it was not about the honeymoon for Gavin. It was about, I need to keep Gavin on board with the plan. And so by taking him on the reward, that's what I'm doing. And then by the end of the episode, Gavin is using how many different votes? Two votes against
two votes against
Ron Clark.
By the way, just as an aside, I like Aurora giving Gavin the extra vote because you know, he's the only one. Like, it's a little bit gilding the lily, I thought. Like, why not just give it to Victoria? Like, no one's voting for Victoria. You know, she's not the target. It just seemed like a lot. I mean, I guess with Survivor, you always want to be like quadruply sure of your plan, but it just seemed like a little bit like of an unnecessary flourish.
Yeah. In terms of the math of it, how many votes did they need? I guess it was also that this was the last time that Aurora could use that extra vote. So maybe this was a little bit of like to the person with the hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so why not use it, basically, is
right, because I know this is very confusing, this vote, but so there was only going to be what, one Rick Devens vote, so wouldn't two votes against Ron have done the trick?
Yeah, but you know, you never know for sure. Like, you know, maybe because Ron thinks everyone's voting for Rick, he throws another vote on Aurora. You know, you never know for sure. Like, so why not take that extra level of precaution? Mm-hmm.
But doesn't then on the tie break, everybody then I guess they would vote out Aurora over Ron on the tie break?
Well, in the tiebreak, no, I think the numbers would, because obviously if the tie, who's the tie between in this case, Rick and
so it's
Ron,
only if Rick plays vote out his Rick. Idol. So then it would be if there was two votes on Aurora and two votes on Ron, then the other five people would get to vote.
And they would all vote for Ron, right? Everyone would vote for Ron except for Julie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because obviously Rick would vote for Ron.
Yeah, so that's a point of that they didn't need as many votes.
Yeah, but you know, they got the vote. Why not?
Why not? I guess so. Nobody likes to go home with an advantage in their pocket.
That's it. Especially one that, yeah, you know, you could have played.
Yeah. Let me ask you to rank these players. I know that it might be arbitrary and reductive, but if you could, of the foursome of Victoria, Aurora, Gavin, and Lauren.
Yeah.
Do you feel particularly strong about any of the four?
You know the answer to that.
You think Victoria is number one?
Oh, yeah. I think, like hands down, Victoria is number one.
I think that she might be playing the best, but I don't know necessarily if she is necessarily... I don't see her necessarily in the final three. Do you?
Oh, I guess I should have asked you what the question was.
I guess so. I mean, like, who's like, who has the inside track to this thing? Like, I still feel like Devens is going to get there somehow, but I don't know who else is there.
So you're like saying, okay, so this is not who's playing the best game. I mean, I've thought that Aurora really could be a finalist here. I've long thought that Julie might be a finalist. You know, Julie could absolutely be a losing finalist. I think that would make a lot of sense. I doubt Victoria is making it to the finals. And in fact, her sort of under-edited persona kind of matches up with people who go out in the five or six spot, mm-hmm. you know, sort of like Dr. Allison, that kind of like goodbye, like that quick goodbye in the finale. Yeah, she might lose the fire making, or she might be like the first person out in the finale. Mm-hmm. Just that person who's like, we can't really give this person a big story, like a big farewell.
Like, I could not if I was, you know, getting like you know, $1 million to like you know, pick call the final three right now. I would really struggle with it.
Yeah, I mean, I would think Devin's just, but he really, you know, who knows? I really could see Julie and or Aurora. And who's voting out Julie? You know, like who's going to vote out?
Well,
Julie?
She could be if Devin's wins immunity, that she would be the easy target to go home next time.
I guess so. But then why?
She was with Ron. She was Ron's person. But, who's she connected to?
But these players have never made that calculus.
That's true. They don't ever vote together twice in a row. If anything, Devin's and Julie should work together now moving forward. And they've said they were connected at the merge. Maybe they could sort of pair up and, you know, figure something out and maybe, you know, get that four of the four under-edited people, Lauren, Gavin, Victoria, and Aurora, if they could split that four in two.
Yeah, I mean, I think after tonight, that's probably a long shot. Gavin after Devin feels like again. Deeply betrayed.
Gavin's won, I think, what, two immunities, and he's been right there for a bunch of them.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you basically saw Devin's like calling out what a two-faced liar Julie is in front of the whole jury. I'm not sure if there's much opportunity for trust between those two right now.
But this season has been so weird, where we saw at the last tribal council where War Dog talked about how him and Ron Clark were, you know, they were the people that they deserved all the credit for getting Kelly out of the game, and I felt like, and I don't know if it was Ron's decision. I really feel like that. The votes weren't there to keep War Dog in the game at that last tribal council, so Ron went along with that. But I felt at the time, I don't love where Ron is in the game, because I think that he's sort of been sort of presented as the biggest threat out there in the game. And the way that this post-merge has gone, every time somebody is sort of revealed as the biggest threat, that's the next person to go home. And other than Rick Devins, I don't know who the next person who is the biggest threat.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's Rick is going to be the biggest threat. Probably will go out next week, unless he gets some magic power from Edge of Extinction.
Well, I mean, he could. He's been good in the immunity challenges, and he's also been proficient at finding the idol now. So
yes.
He has a lot of outs.
Yeah, he's got some outs for sure, and. You know, then whoever comes back from Edge of Extinction is the biggest threat, right? So that's, you know, it's whether or not they get Rick out, like Rick is the biggest threat next week. And then the subsequent week, it will be Rick and the person from Edge, mm-hmm. or just the person from Edge, who also might be Rick. But yeah, I mean, it's true that, you know, there really hasn't been, you know, alliances. It really is the inverse season to Ghost Island, where in Ghost Island, you just had so many people protecting the two most dominant players who just were never in danger at all. And this season, anyone who shows even a small like soupçon of dominance is immediately voted out.
Yeah. Okay, you're trying to get me to start Googling things as we're doing the podcast, aren't you?
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, you know, in terms of who's you know, I don't see. I mean, you know, Lauren has a lot of quotes about fire, and so it's very. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if that's
a
like
lot?
Foreshadowing.
I just did one about her dad.
There've been a couple tonight. She said something like, "It's so much better by the fire," and they like subtitled it, and it was very strange.
Wow, you are in the weeds.
No, but it was such a nothing quote. And look, like 9 times out of 10, this sort of stuff doesn't lead anywhere. But it was just such a weird quote for them to subtitle that I thought like there has to be some kind of significance to this. I could see her either winning or losing fire making.
Yeah. Let me ask you, we didn't go to the Edge of Extinction again tonight. What did you think about that? Did you miss the Edge? Did you miss seeing War Dog?
Oh my God! We were promised you're going to get it tomorrow at the end of the last episode.
That we're not going to see anything from Hedge of Extinction next week, War Dog.
Yeah. She said you're going to get it in the morning. I was looking forward to that.
Yeah.
But I do like that Reem gets now like it's the final word on every episode. I like that. That's the new thing.
Yes, that's good. I was glad that don't call me a sadist, but I was glad that they did not get loved ones at the edge of extinction.
Oh yeah, no, that would have been there would have only been one person, right? Oh, you think they would have flown out all the loved ones?
Well,
yeah,
I don't know. But I feel like because in the original Redemption Island season, they did have like at least like the possibility of the people on Redemption Island getting their loved ones visit. I'm glad that was not on the table.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it's supposed to be like the extreme of human suffering, and it already seems like summer camp. It would be worse if like their family members were showing up.
Okay. All right. We're going to get to your questions. First, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor here tonight. Mother's Day is around the corner, Stephen, and Sunday, May 12th. And if you haven't gotten your mom something special yet, did we see any moms on the loved ones visit? I think it was a no mom loved ones visit.
Yeah, it was dads,
lots of dads,
wives.
Lots of dads. Yeah. Don't be like Survivor and forget all about the moms, because Mother's Day is coming up and you can't go wrong with flowers. And friends of the show from youflowers.com has a fantastic deal right now for the Rob Has a Podcast listeners. If you go to from youflowers, that's from youflowers.com/Rob, you could send one dozen mixed roses for $19.99. And if you really want to make an impression, do two dozen in mixed roses and a free vase for just $10 more. That's $29.99 for that big arrangement, 24 roses and a free vase delivered in time for the mother of all holidays at fromyouflowers.com/Rob. Guaranteed freshness, an on-time delivery from the company awarded the highest customer satisfaction with online flower retailers in 2019 by JD Power. Dun, 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 dun. You can't beat this deal. Order today. Supplies are limited, but order today. Supplies are limited. They will sell out. From youflowers.com/Rob. Okay. Steven, let's start off with some questions. How about Mr. Paul Borges?
Paul B wants to know, we all know Rob Cesternino has a podcast, but what we really need is a puppet show from him tonight on the Know It Alls. Thanks, Survivor CBS, for letting him take over your Instagram.
Dude.
Oh boy. Oh my God. This
Reem, you're getting played by Ron Clark. Dude. Okay. All right. We don't need to do that.
How many of these do you have? Is this what like most evenings are like in the Cesternino household? No, it's like Mr. Rogers.
The whole cast. What do you want, Stephen? What do you think I'm doing in my spare time? Okay.
I didn't think that. I really didn't.
Yeah. Who do you need? You need David Wright? Here.
Oh, give me
here.
A good one. I want a good. No,
for
no,
anybody
no,
who wanted to see David Wright tonight, this is what he still looks like. Okay. All right. Okay. James says, so what do you guys think of Ron's master plan to get Devin's out? Did you agree with him about where he said he lost sight of the million in order to get Devin's out or no? Was Devin's the right target for Ron Clark?
Well, Devin's is... I guess the only argument against Devin's is that keeping Devin's in the game is protection for Ron, mm-hmm. Which is true. But also, you know, everyone wanted Devin's out, right? I mean, it would have been a pretty tough sell for Ron to be like, guys, what we really need. I guess he was pushing the Aurora vote, pretty hard too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What do you think, Rob?
Well, it does seem like, and I don't know if there'll be anything to take away from this for future Survivor seasons, but anytime it's an easy vote, it does seem like that idle hands, IDLE hands come into play, where it'd be like, well, this is too easy of a vote. We need to, you know,
people get bored.
I need to make a mark here. And so, you know, every time it's like, okay, Devin's was the easy target. And Devin's was, not a great target, because it seemed like that there was a lot in the ether about that Devin's could have an advantage. Like, people seemed like pretty adamant that like almost every person in the game felt like, well, we need a plan B because Devin's might have something up his sleeve.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard because someone like Ron has backed himself into a corner, or actually he hasn't even backed himself into a corner. He's been backed into a corner because all of the bigger, you know, the other big players have been eliminated by his own alliance. And so, like, you know, I mean, when Ron and Julie were betrayed by Julia, Gavin, and Victoria, you know, it really looked like they were sort of out of luck on the show. And they actually, since that vote, have had a pretty stellar comeback, right? Where it's been three, it was, you know, immediately after that, it sure looked like the Lesus had a pretty big numbers, or they had sort of tied up the numbers. And then 1, 2, 3, it's three Lesus gone. So, you know, kudos to the Commas for getting their act together once, you know, after that total screw up at the start of the merge. But, you know, at this point in the game, I just don't know what Ron could do.
I want to go back to Sir Rick Devins, because I thought that that was miraculous that Rick Devins was able to scale the roof of the shelter while everybody was sleeping. And then pull this off and get this under everybody's nose. I mean, that, you know, sometimes, you know, that the tinfoil hat Twitter will say, like, oh, that he just found that idol. Like, oh, isn't that a coincidence that he found another idol? I mean, this was not a cheapie for Rick Devins here tonight.
Yeah, having to scale. And like, it's also like, it's dark, you know, it's not like you can see it's kind of where you're going. Like, it is pitch black on those long nights. And, you know, there's no lighting, right? The camera light is infrared, right? Which is why it's, so it's like, not like you're seeing through the, from the camera light. So he is scaling this tree in the night. Who the F knows what like critter is dangling in that tree. I mean, that was a pretty badass idol snack.
Yeah. I only wish that maybe, and hope nobody gets hurt, but Rick Devins could have fallen through the roof of the shelter and then, oh yeah.
Wow. Now I can call you a sadist. Well, I'll call you a sadist.
That's what the Kool-Aid man would do. That's his spirit animal.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, okay. That's
maybe
fair.
Hold the idol. He grabs the idol on the way down and busts through the roof. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take some more questions. Wyatt says, do you feel like there's anyone on the edge of extinction who actually has a legit chance of coming back and making a run at winning? They're starting to feel more and more like a regular jury now rather than a place a threat could come back from in the game. Steven, are your fishy senses tingling that somebody on the edge of extinction has a chance to come back?
I mean, you look at who's there, you have some, like, you know, you've got Chris, you've got Joe, you've got Kelly Wentworth, you know, David Wright, who's a, you know, does extremely well in all these challenges. You have people there who do very well in the challenges. And I would not be at all surprised, like, whoever wins that challenge, you know, depending on what it, presumably it's not going to be like a slide puzzle. Presumably it's going to be a pretty tough contest.
We saw one piece of it where Aubrey was trying to get untangled.
Oh, that's right. That's right. She's, I mean, who knows? She's still practicing? Like, how long does she get to practice?
I don't know. Aubrey's still on the show, right?
Yeah, no, she's there. But I mean, does she? So, you know, I really think. No.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Why?
Oh, I just said we haven't seen these people.
Yeah. Yeah. She gave Kelly a big hug last week.
Okay.
That was very emotional.
It's all happening. Okay. What about Kieran, Steven?
Karen wants to know, will the Extinction Island duel occur on finale night? Probably.
Yeah. I mean, I think that we have one more week, then it's the finale. We'll vote. We'll go from 6 to 5 next week, and then we will have the Edge of Extinction, I think, kick off the 3-hour finale.
Yeah, I agree. I think that'll be the start. Then, you know, immediately a vote. So it's 6. That's 6. So the extinction person, whoever comes back from extinction,
has to get through two votes and then the final four fire making.
Yeah. If they come back with an idol, boy, would that be irritating.
It would be something. It would be something. Yeah. Now, could it be another piece of an idol? Could it be something? But yeah, I think that you come back at 6. You figure it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm really hoping that's, I don't know how I would be able to conceive of the season of the Extinction Island person won, because it's like, what was the point of the whole, you know, I guess it depends when that person went out. It's someone like, you know, if it's someone who goes out 5th and then they come back, it's like, they were still a big part of the I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. Look, they have to also then do something when they come back in.
Yeah.
They have to get through a couple of these votes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the worst case scenario is a person comes back and then they win immunity. They win immunity. They make the fire and then they win. That's not great.
Right. No, I mean, that's the nightmare, I think, for this, because it's like, then it's just, you know, there was an entire season of Survivor and it meant nothing, you know, because it just all came down to a couple of obstacle courses. Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm trying to remember, did Ozzy come back at 6 and then he won immunity? Or did he come back in at 5?
I feel like he came back in at 5. He definitely lost the final 4 challenge.
Right, but I think he won
the final 5 challenge. So that would mean he came in at 6, because I do think he won one chat. He won his way back in. I think they got down
to 4, and then Ozzy came back in at 5 and then won a challenge.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, he came back in at 5. He won the challenge to get to 4. That's exactly right. And lost the challenge to get to 3.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. Let's get some more questions in. Okay. Wyatt, are there any possible goats left in the remaining contestants? This is one of the few times I think everyone left has made some move where they could make a significant run at the final tribal council. Stephen, this is interesting because we talked about this on the show last week of goats. Oh, it's the goats versus pilots,
right.
And oh, so many goats. I really don't know if there's one person that is a guaranteed loser in the final 3.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I mean, I think if you're looking at their resume, you know, it's from what I mean, Lauren has seemed to make the fewest moves of that group, although I guess that's not actually true. And Lauren's done, you know, she was a huge part of the Lesu Alliance, which really did some damage at the merge. I think every single person there has really got
the problem with the last 2 weeks where that group has really been, I think sort of like the deciding factors these last 2 weeks that to me, it's been so split among them. Like, I know you assigned the most agency to Victoria here, but Lauren did a lot and Aurora did a lot and Gavin did something. So,
oh yeah, totally.
This is really, it's hard to sort of like pick one of that 4 and say, this was, you know, 100% their move, sort of in the way that the, you know, War Dog got all the credit on the Kelly Wentworth vote. Even the War Dog vote where you had where Lauren was saying that it was her move. You had Julie talking about that it needs to be War Dog. You know, Aurora and Victoria were in there too. So Gavin wanted blood from War Dog for that whole episode. So it has been very hard out of that group to pick one person out where we sort of say like, okay, this was their move these last couple of weeks.
Yeah. And I do think that most Survivor votes are really consensus votes. It's mostly things that happen through conversation. You know, I have never really subscribed to the idea that just because someone like says a name first, that they're like the one who actually makes a vote happen. It really is all about sort of like who can muster the social forces.
Okay.
You know, I agree. And especially, you know, we haven't seen, you know, it does seem like every one of them is really an active player, and a really, you know, engaged player. So yeah, I agree that doesn't seem like there's any real goats left in the game. And interesting.
Okay. All right. Let's do one or two more questions. Thomas has a question. Was Devin's idol performance too dramatic, or was it just what the jury wanted to see? I mean, did you see the reaction from that jury? I mean, Julia was dancing.
Yeah, I mean, I really do think that the jury likes, you know, they're bored, right? The tribal council is like their big adventure. Like it's where they, and so like keep them entertained.
Steven, it's not just the players getting out, the jury's getting out of their seats and dancing.
Yeah, wow. What do you think about the celebration? Like, I actually thought it was a little unseemly, like a little too much.
Well, you have a huge group now. It's getting raucous.
Yeah. I guess so. They're probably, it's
I think
group.
You have a 9-person jury, which is like a bigger jury than voted in either of our first seasons, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's as big a jury, you know, until Cambodia was the biggest jury that they had.
The jury now, I think, is equal to that of Cambodia, and we're still going to put 3 more people on it.
Yeah, right. That's crazy.
Steven, Survivor is like a pinball machine now.
Survivor's like a pinball bing, machine. Bing, it's like bing, a bing, roulette
bing,
wheel.
Bing, bing. Do millennials and Gen Z know what pinball is?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Mm, yeah.
Probably.
Is Survivor like pinball?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, you can make any analogy
you're trying to
work,
keep the ball
right? Like
the balls, up in the air for as long as you can. I guess so. Nikki wants to know who's most likely to join a Rick Julie alliance and make the next tribal interesting. Can you see any of the, I'm trying to think of, a word to, describe them. The under edited four, is there one of them that could, flip to go to, join Rick and Julie?
I mean, maybe Aurora has seemed like to be the most independent, you know, the most sort of a
I know, Ron voted
operator.
For her, and her and Julie have no love lost.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. She and Julie died. But I don't think a Rick Julie thing would happen. I mean, like, again, like Julie deceived Rick, and Rick is not like, I mean, it's not chess pieces. And Rick especially is someone who takes things personally.
Maybe
and
Gavin.
He's like an emotional guy.
I feel like that Lauren and Victoria are connected now.
Yeah, it did. It seems like I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that.
Okay. All right. Scott, do we have another question? All right. Then this will be the last question, and then we'll wrap things up. Do either Lauren or Victoria need to eliminate each other due to having similar under-the-radar strategic games, or can either one point to superior moves in order to win? Think that's getting too cute, Lauren and Victoria.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that, you know, from the perspective, I mean, maybe they seem similar to us, but from the perspective of the other players, they're like, I think they probably have like dramatically different relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, like one was on Lesu and has like a great story there about being in the underdog alliance. And the other was, you know, kind of dodged and weaved.
Don't forget Lawrence
Lesnar.
The
majority. Yeah. So I think that actually they are, you know, have pretty different stories to tell, even though they sort of have ended up in a kind of similar strategic position right now.
All right. Let's start to wrap this up. And then Steven and I are going to take your calls over on FanCred. If you want to get on FanCred.com and get the app, you can do so. News AF, Woodstock 50 canceled. Steven Fishback, I know, was already planning on being out there this August in upstate New York. Steven, I'm sorry to say, Woodstock 50 is canceled.
What happened?
You'll have to tune into News AF with Tyson Apostle and Danny Bryson for the stories. Robin Akiva need a podcast. We took calls from 32 fans of Robin Akiva need a podcast this weekend to get new ideas on Total Idea Request Live. Check that out on Robin Akiva need a podcast. Win Shut Up Tim's Money coming up this weekend. Double interview with Dominic and Kellen coming up this week.
Did you, where did that picture of Dominic come from? That's pretty hilarious.
I think that's it must be like a press photo, because I think that's what he was wearing in his press pictures.
He's such a ham.
Yeah. So check that out. Get your questions in survivor@robinswebsite.com or by way of voicemail. Akiva is going to be on the RHAP B&B this weekend. So check that out with Mike and Liana. And then find out why Ron Clark lost with David and Jessica as well in our wrap-ups feed and the Survivor feed. And then the Purple Pants badass, Bryce Isaiah. What you looking for, Steven Fishback? He is going to be on the feedback show. Get your voicemail questions in for Bryce. And then Liana Boris will join us on This Week in Survivor as we approach the second to last week of the season. Of course, Wiggle Room coming up with the great Josh Wiggler. Yeah, I had shown, I was playing with my Survivor puppets, and I had my Rick Devins out, and I asked my son Dominic, who's this? He said, is that Josh Wiggler? No, Rick Devins. This is Rick Devins' puppet. Okay. All right. There you go. All right. Of course, all of this podcasting is made possible because of the support of the patrons of Rob as a Podcast. To find out more about everything we're doing over there, go to robasawebsite.com/patron. My life is to serve the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. If you want to find out about everything going on, check out our 3-hour plus patron cast from last night, Steven, where I took phone calls and video calls from many of the people in our patron community. That's all in our patron podcast feed as well. robhasawebsite.com/patron. All right.
It's such a great community. Like, you know, I haven't spoken to you since the Live Know-It-Alls, and well, we did Game of Thrones, but I haven't spoken to you about Survivor since Live Know-It-Alls, and it's so much fun. Every time it's so much fun, and it's such a great group of people who come out to those things, and largely patrons.
Yes. Right? I mean, they are the best, Stephen. Yeah. Okay. So, of course, check out Stephen. Is Paraphrase Podcast on hiatus while you are recovering?
Yeah, I actually recorded an episode. I just haven't been able to listen to it yet because I've been, you know, I didn't have all of my faculties and I didn't feel like I wanted to be, you know, editing.
Okay, fair enough. And of course, don't forget Stephen and I live after Game of Thrones. You can check out the Snow It Alls on post show recaps on Sunday nights. We'll be back again live
super
after
fun.
This week's episode of Game of Thrones. You can check out the latest Snow It Alls on postshowrecaps.com, and my feedback show with Josh Wigler should be dropping shortly as well. Take care, everybody. Thanks so much, Scott St. Pierre. We'll be on the Fan Cred app in just a couple of minutes. Join us at 10:15. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
Tonight's episode of Survivor Know-It-Alls is sponsored by our friends over at True Car. 60 seconds. That's exactly how long this commercial is going to last. You know what else you can do in about a minute? You can get an offer for your car with True Car. That's right. In the amount of time it takes to floss your teeth, pet your dog, do a few sit-ups, or listen to my voice, you can get a True Cash offer. And best of all, you can do it from your smartphone or from your home. Just go to True Car and simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions. You'll get an accurate True Cash offer from a local True Car certified dealer. It's that easy. And after that, you could bring in your car and they'll check it out with you together. You can ask questions and get the answers you need so there's no surprises. Then simply leave with your check or trade in your car for a brand new ride. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today.